Okay, and we are live. Welcome to the ARC English podcast. Today, we're going to briefly be discussing things that you guys do that make you sound rude when you're speaking in English, okay? Came up with five things. I'm going to go over them pretty briefly. Before we jump in here, if you're watching this on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitch, if you'd like to support the platform, you could simply do so by liking the video. Helps the algorithm spread the message to other people who are also trying to improve their English skills. And I see here Ransford. Hello. Hello. Shout out to you, Ransford. Welcome. Welcome to the stream. Fatma. Hi. Hello. Abba Chan. Good afternoon. Nice to see you again, Abba. Welcome back. If you're new here, why don't you introduce yourself in the chat? Tell us where you're from. If you're listening to this on a podcasting platform, then welcome as well. We'll get right into it. So the first thing that ESL learners often do that makes them sound rude in the English language is speaking with a high level of directness, okay? So when you're speaking with someone very directly, in English-speaking countries, this can definitely come off as rude. And I know in a lot of the countries that you guys are from, it is much more socially acceptable to speak directly to someone, to be a little bit more blunt, and to be a little bit more matter of fact. But in English countries, in many situations, it is actually a lot more polite to be a little bit more covert about how you communicate, as opposed to very direct, very blunt, and very straight to the point. So let me give you an example here. Instead of saying, you look bad in that outfit, you could say something like, I think you would look a lot better if you wore this outfit instead. That's a small, simple example. In some cultures, especially with some of you guys who I've been communicating with on Instagram, it seems like it's far more acceptable to speak what's on your mind and give it directly. However, in English-speaking countries like Canada and the United States, it is very easy for that to come off as being offensive, okay? So that's the first thing. You can let me know if that resonates with you. Fatma, it's been a while now. Yes, it has. Nice to see you again. And Robina, hi teacher. Hello, Robina. Welcome. Welcome back. I remember you. And yeah, if you guys have any questions at all throughout the stream, you can jump into the chat and ask away. And I'm trying to make these episodes based on questions that you guys actually have and send to me on Instagram. So if you have any questions, feel free to ask and I'll make a podcast episode on them. And if you're listening to this on a podcasting platform, you can simply send us an email of any question you may have. It's just arcenglish123@gmail.com. Okay. And Abby, you say, I usually use if you don't mind me asking, when I'm asking something personal. Yes, that is a really polite way to ask something that could come off as offensive. That's a great tool to use to preface something that you're going to say that could be a little bit more sensitive. Iokoba, welcome to the stream. Nice to see you. Okay, now let's get into point number two. Lack of politeness markers, okay? So a politeness marker could be something such as please or thank you. As simple as that. In some languages, please and thank you is not as prevalent as it is in the English language. When you pose a question, you might say, just do this, do that, give me this, give me that. And that's actually normal in the figure of speech of a lot of different languages. But in the English language, you will come off as rude if you do not use please and thank you. Now, I know for a lot of you guys who speak more Latin languages, you already know this. This is something that we share among our languages. But for people who have a completely different language with different characters and a different alphabet, this might not be as obvious, okay? But in the English language, as often as possible, you should always use please and thank you. And now I know that there are a lot of native English speakers who actually do not use these terms themselves, okay? I understand that. However, it's still, it's not a good thing that they do that, okay? If you had to choose between one or the other, absolutely use please and thank you. Absolutely be polite whenever you have the opportunity. It'll go a long way when you need to build relationships with other English speakers around the world. Trust me on that one, okay? So number three, tone and intonation, okay? So the tone in which you speak, this is a lot more difficult for many of you guys simply because depending on what your native language is, your tone may come off as rude, unfortunately, just due to your accent and due to the whole rhythm and tonality of your native language, okay? This is really, really common with people who speak the Russian language, I've noticed. They speak with a much more monotone voice. When they're communicating things, it can sound a little bit more dry and a little bit more blunt when you're communicating with Russians who are speaking English. But it's important thing to note that if somebody looks at you funny, if you ask a question without the proper intonation, or if you make a statement without a nice intonation, it can really come off as rude, okay? Now, there are some really obvious ones, such as if you're asking a question, you'll usually have a higher pitched voice at the end of the question saying, do you like this? Do you not like this? The intonation's a little bit different when you're asking a question. But now, when it comes to making statements and when it comes to conversing, it's extremely easy for a lot of native English speakers to be intimidated by you if you speak in a way that doesn't really match the rhythm of the English language. So some of you guys may be wondering specifically what you can do to improve this and make sure that this does not happen to you. What I would recommend is simply just consuming a lot of English speaking content that involves native English speakers, okay? Just by observing how native English speakers communicate and then repeating, regurgitating, and actually exercising your mouth to speak in that manner, that'll make you sound more like a native English speaker. It sounds extremely simple, and that's because it is extremely simple. The how, in terms of doing it, is not complicated. However, finding the time to do it every day and doing it consistently over a very long period of time, that's simply where most people fail, and that's why most people cannot accomplish speaking like a native English speaker. It really does come down to that. So we have some more chats here. Abdu Sulman, hi teacher. Hello, Abdu. Welcome back. Nice to see you again. Sorry, I don't know what your name is. It is in Arabic. Hello, Avery. Can you tell us how to order our ideas to answer, introduce yourself? Yeah, that's a good question. So I'll answer that question before I jump to the last two points here. So how to order your ideas to answer, introduce yourself. Well, when you introduce yourself, my advice would be do not overcomplicate it. Just keep it simple. Keep it really, really simple. State your name, state where you're from, and state anything else that is relevant to the context by which you were asked that question, okay? So if you told me right now over the stream, introduce yourself, I would just say, hi, my name's Avery from ARC English. I enjoy helping ESL students improve their English as a second language. And I'm from the country of Canada. You can keep it very simple. And then after you do a very simple introduction like that, people will tend to ask follow-up questions. And then when they ask follow-up questions, you can simply elaborate depending on what they care to hear. So my advice is when someone asks something so basic, like introduce yourself, don't overcomplicate it. Keep it super simple. If you want to keep the conversation going and be a better conversationalist in English, I'd recommend that you practice asking open-ended questions to other people. The best conversationalists in the world actually don't talk that much. They actually listen about 80% of the time, and they ask questions when they speak about 20% of the time. Those are like the best conversationalists in the world. Okay. So I don't feel like you need to give your whole life story when you want to talk about yourself. Okay. Now, I see some more chats here. I'll get back to them. I'm going to jump to the fourth point now, though. Okay. So point number four, interrupting or overlapping speech. Okay. So some ESL learners come from cultures where it's far more socially acceptable to interrupt each other and have chaotic might not be the best word, but a much more free-flowing conversation among lots of people with less organization. It's a little bit more all over the place. Okay, so interrupting in English-speaking countries is definitely seen as a sign of disrespect. Absolutely. It's seen as a sign of disrespect. Sometimes people do it anyway because they're very eager, they're very emotional, they really need to get something off their chest. That means they really have a lot of motivation to say something in a particular moment. However, if you come from a culture where it is socially acceptable to interrupt during conversation, it's not socially acceptable in English speaking culture. And I know you probably have seen many native English speakers interrupt all the time. Just know that that is not acceptable. That's not a good thing. That is rude. What they're doing is rude. Be better than that, you know, be better than that. Because there have been many situations where I've been communicating with people who don't speak English as a first language. And this is something that was not very obvious to them. This was not clear to them. Just because their culture was literally that much different. So keep that in mind. We have some more chats here that I'll address. Antonio Riggio, hi teacher. Hello, Antonio. Welcome. I don't think I've seen you before, so welcome to the stream. Nice to see you. Tran, can you say my name? Tran. I think it's Tran. Tran. Not sure. Simon. Hi. Hello, Simon. Welcome. Welcome to the stream. Fatma, I don't think one of the streets will tell you to introduce yourself. I'm not sure if I understand your statement, Fatma. You don't think one of the streets will tell you to introduce yourself? Well, no. In many circumstances, in lots of social situations, people will ask you to introduce yourself, or they'll form the question in a different way. They'll ask where you're from. They'll ask things about your background. So it essentially all comes back to explaining the same rudimentary or basic things about yourself. So there you go. Jerem, hi, I'm new here. Okay, welcome. Welcome, Jerem. Nice to see you. Welcome to the stream. If you have any questions, don't hesitate. How do I end the conversation in a nice way? Yeah, that is actually a really good question. That's a great question. People do end up having very awkward situations where they don't know how to dismiss a conversation, or they don't want to come off as rude if they need to go somewhere and they need to stop talking to somebody. So I actually made a short video on this. I think it was last week, or it will be coming for the next week. But it's basically, there are many ways you can do it. You can just say, well, it was nice to see you. That's a polite way to end a conversation. Well, it was nice to meet you. Okay. Well, it was nice talking to you. I'll see you around, you know? Something like that is perfectly normal. It's perfectly polite. Anyone who's an adult, anyone who's fairly mature will not take offense to you ending a conversation that way. So those are three ways you can do it. Just so you don't forget, the three ways are, well, it was nice talking to you. I'll see you later. Well, it was nice seeing you. I'll talk to you later. Or, well, it was nice meeting you. I'll talk to you later. Depends on the specific situation, right? So there you go. Noemia, hi from Mozambique. I'm not sure where that is, but okay. Welcome. Nice to meet you virtually. Antonio, hi, teacher Avery. I'm new here. Okay. Welcome, Antonio. Nice to meet you, virtually. Rabiul Islam, hi, hello from Bangladesh. Okay, cool. Shout out to Bangladesh. Mike, hi, teacher, hello. Okay, so now let's get to the final point here, point number five, okay? Nonverbal cues, okay? Nonverbal cues. This means body language, essentially, okay? Now, in every different country around the world, in all of the different languages that are spoken around the world, different body language symbols mean different things, okay? They all have their slight nuances. But in the English language, body language that may be normal where you come from can be seen as offensive in English-speaking countries. A really good example of this would be, for example, I'm not sure if any of you guys here have been to places such as, let's say, China. In a country like China, when you go into public transportation, whether that be a bus, airplane terminal, a train terminal, it is perfect. It's socially acceptable to just bump into each other. You'll walk and you'll bump shoulders with a bunch of different people. You'll be cutting people in line. You won't be waiting in an ordered or organized manner. You'll just be walking through people, essentially. That is deemed as socially normal in a country like China. In English-speaking countries, that is extremely rude, okay? In an English-speaking country, if you walk into a public transportation venue and you bump shoulders with people and you walk into people and you don't give people their personal space, this is highly offensive. And if you do it to the wrong person, they may actually confront you on that and they can escalate the situation. So you do not want to do this in English-speaking countries. That is not normal. That is not acceptable, really. That is a very big sign of disrespect to most people, okay? Same thing with just sitting down. If you're sitting on a bus, or if you're sitting on a train, or if you're sitting on an airplane, if you don't give people their personal space, if you're rubbing shoulders with them, if you're rubbing legs with them, that is not polite at all in an English-speaking country, okay? So, and another thing too, another example of rude body language in English culture is, in some cultures, it's much more normal to touch people who you even don't know, if it's a stranger. If you guys find something funny, I know there's some people I met from Argentina. They'd find something funny and then they'd put their arm around me or rub me on the shoulder when after telling a joke, you know. It's very weird to do that in most English-speaking cultures, to touch people who you don't know very well on a personal level. That's a lot more normal in some of these other cultures. So this isn't really just a language thing. It's really a culture thing as well, as you can see. So in English-speaking regions, Canada, the United States, the United Kingdom, don't do this. It'll be seen as disrespectful. It'll be taken offensively by many people. And it'll make you come off as rude, okay? So I'm going to address your chats here before we close up, but I'll recap and I'll summarize the 5 points that we went over today that make you sound rude when you're communicating in English, okay? So the first one is being too direct. Sometimes you should preface your statements by saying, "Do you mind if I ask you this?" Or you should just speak more covertly and reword your phrase as something that is more positive rather than negative, okay? So directness, that's one. Number two, lack of politeness markers. That means you're not using please and you're not using thank you. That's a basic one, okay? Number three, intonation, okay? Some of you guys, especially Russian people, you speak very bluntly. You speak very directly. It kind of ties in with directness, okay? Just observe how native English speakers communicate and you'll gauge the rhythm of what is polite, what is rude, what is meant to be offensive, and what is not meant to be offensive, okay? So directness, lack of using please and thank you, tone and intonation. Number four was interrupting. and overlapping speech. Do not interrupt in English. That is seen as rude. And then number five is non-verbal cues like body language, okay? Do not touch people who you do not know very well. This can come off as really offensive in English-speaking countries. And do not invade people's personal space. In some cultures, it's more normal. In English-speaking culture, it is not normal. Do not do it, okay? So those are the five things, okay? Five things that are making ESL learners sound rude in the English language. Avoid those five as much as possible. And now I'm going to address the last chats here before we wrap up. And if you have any last minute questions, you can ask them now. If you'd like me to make a podcast episode on anything specific that you're struggling with in the English language, you can just leave a comment on this video and I'll make an episode about it. Or you can just send us an email if you're listening to this on a podcasting platform at arcenglish123@gmail.com. Okay. Now, Antonio, by the way, Sir Avery, I'm from the Philippines. I'm here because I want to improve my English because it's my second language. Okay. Okay, Antonio. Cool. Great. Yeah, there's lots of people here from the Philippines. So welcome. And that's great. And yeah, you should improve your English. It is the most useful language in the world, I'd argue. So good idea. Good call. Mattia. Hi. Hello, Mattia. Welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Evelina. Hello. Welcome to you. Fatma Batatach. Sorry if I ruined your last name there. Are Americans not friendly with foreigners? Well, that's a tricky question because some Americans are polite and some are not. I guess you can make an argument that most probably aren't. America is a different culture than Canada or the United Kingdom. In America, they tend to want you to be more American when you're there, okay? In Canada, they actually welcome multiculturalism. If you have a completely different culture and a completely different way of life, they welcome that in Canada. In the United States of America, if you bring your culture over there, Americans may frown upon it, especially if it goes against what is socially normal for them. They may not have any empathy for you. They may not like your way of life. That is definitely a thing in America. So if you want to behave more American and follow the American way of life as a foreigner, I think they will, they won't have an issue with you. If you go kind of go against their way of life completely, they'll oftentimes ridicule you for doing that. So, and it's a tricky question because America is a really big country and each different state has a lot of different subcultures within itself. Okay. For such a big country, you could even do a deeper dive into the differences between each state. So it's a conversation for another day. Okay. Trent, what is your favorite movie? The Shawshank Redemption, I think, is probably the best movie that I've ever seen. The Shawshank Redemption. Very good movie. What if I speak English in a bad way? How to avoid it, Jaram? Yeah, if you're speaking English in a bad way, how to avoid it? Well, depends what you define as bad. I mean, look, at the end of the day, it really depends on your goal. If you want to teach English to other people, then obviously you should pursue advanced levels of the English language. However, if you just want to travel, you just want to get by, you just want to be able to navigate your way through an English speaking country, you can really do that at like the B1 or the B2 level. You really can. At the end of the day, what's the most important thing is that people like myself, native speakers like myself, can understand what you're saying and you can understand what I am saying to you. That's the most important thing. If you can do that, you can navigate your way fairly easily through any English-speaking country. If you can do just that, which a lot of people at the intermediate level can do. If you just want to improve so you sound more well-spoken and you can articulate yourself better, and even if you want to pursue higher education, you want to get a professional job in English, or you want to pursue a certain degree at a university or college in English, then yeah, you should pursue the more advanced levels of the language for sure. And how to avoid it? Well, that's a pretty broad question, Jerome. You'd have to be more specific than that. That's, yeah, I miss a lot. Yeah, you missed a lot. We just went over the five different ways that ESL learners tend to sound rude. This will be recorded. This will be on Facebook and YouTube afterwards. You can watch this back if you'd like to see the whole lesson. So, Historian of Freedom, welcome back. Nice to see you again. Natya, I've tried to attend all the time, but it's hard because of the different time. Yeah, because of the different time zones. It is tough. But every Saturday around 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, we'll be answering your questions in the form of a podcast episode. So there you go. Noemia, could you kindly share English idioms? Well, there's a million English idioms. So, I mean, that's like a whole different video, basically. But yes, I can share some English idioms. Maybe I'll do an episode just outlining all of the most common ones that you can literally use on a everyday basis. I think that would be really useful for you guys. So maybe I'll make a video about that next Saturday. So, Fatma, I might come to France or Canada to continue mes études. So America is a red flag then. Yeah, Fatma. Yeah, if you're proficient in French, Fatma, yeah, you could go to France or Canada. You'll probably have an easier time. I will say in Canada, though, if you go outside of the province of Quebec, the overwhelming majority of people only speak English. They do not speak French at all. So if you really want a French community, you're going to have to be in the province of Quebec. You'll have to go to a university or college in the province of Quebec, or else you're going to have a really difficult time. If you want to immerse yourself in English, though, then I'd go outside of the province of Quebec, and you'll be exposed to a ton of Canadian English speakers who will be much more friendly than Americans. I can tell you that. Antonio. Bye, Sir Avery. It's time to sleep here in the Philippines. I'm glad because I met this page. See you next stream. Of course. And yeah, nice to meet you, Antonio. Have a good night. So it's the 27-minute mark here. So we're going to wrap this up. We want to keep it under 30 minutes, but I will answer the last questions here before we close up. Okay, VJ Ren. Hi, sir. What's your opinion about the difference between 2 and 4? For example, I sent this email to my mom, and I sent this email for my mom. Yes. So the difference in that particular context is if you sent the email to your mom, you sent it from yourself to your mom. If you sent it for your mom, that means that you sent it on behalf of your mother to somebody else. Okay. For your mom, it means like, your mom was telling you what to write in the email, and you sent it for her on her behalf, as if she was going to communicate with somebody else. You did it for her. Now, if you're sending it to her, that means it's coming directly from you to her. Okay. I hope that makes sense. I tried to explain it as simply as I could. Only human. Is reading books out loud helps in pronunciation, accent? Yes, absolutely. Yes, 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 yes. Every time you have an opportunity to read anything, read it aloud. It will improve your speaking. It will improve your pronunciation and accent. You need those repetitions. Absolutely do it. Yes. Tran, how do these subtitles appear before you even say those words? Yeah, on Facebook, they have a built-in application that shows subtitles. It like transcribes what I'm saying. It's really cool. But yeah, Facebook, they do automatic subtitles, and it's actually pretty close. It's pretty accurate, so it's pretty good. Paridi, good afternoon, sir. Thank you for your presence. Yes, sac passé. Welcome back, Paridi. Nice to see you. Always nice to see you at these streams. Welcome back. PJ Ren, thanks. Of course. Matcha, I get it. Okay, perfect. Okay, so it's the 30-minute mark. That is all for today. If you have a question, I will make a podcast episode on it next Saturday. Leave a comment with your question. I'll make an episode about it. And if you are listening to this on a podcasting platform, you can simply send us an email if you have a question at arcenglish123@gmail.com. And if you want short mini lessons every single day, if you want to learn new vocabulary words in English every single day, just follow us on whatever social media platform that you prefer. It's just ARC English on all platforms. ARC English. That's it. So I'll see you next Saturday. Take care.